What time is it? It's Packard Folks at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardFolksAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Folks at and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Folks at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic, and this is Season 6, Episode 10 for Friday the 13th.
Boo.
Boo. The fact that it happens in October is kind of funny, you know?
Yeah. Scary things, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And joining me tonight from the Far East Coast is the Atheist Ranger.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
And joining me from the ill that is Illinois is Matt, not a believer, 71.
Hello, everybody.
If you have email and you actually still read email, because I get email on my phone and I was like, okay, I just kind of just hit clear all and just don't hardly read any of it anymore. But email is still a thing and people get weird things in their email. Sometimes you get notifications from banks you don't even have a bank account at. This is known as a spear phishing attack. What they're trying to do is trying to lure you into making you give them your information. It's kind of a social engineering thing. If you get an email, or maybe it's from a notification from someplace that you actually have an account at. Let's say you get an email from PayPal. Say, this email address was added to your account. Click on this link to fix it and check it or whatever. And if you're not careful, what you're going to do is you're going to end up giving somebody that you don't want to have access to your information access to the information. And the biggest thing is where you can find out that it's fake is because when it goes to the site, even though it looks like your site, like PayPal, for example, the link at the top will not say paypal.com. It'll say eat a squirrel face. I just pwned your butt.com or something stupid like that. And if you type in your email and it doesn't connect, and you're going to go, huh, maybe I typed in my email wrong. And you're going to type it in several times. And then you're just going to go, eventually just going to give up. And then just forget about it. Or you just may eventually just reload the page or try to go to PayPal directly. But by that time, the damage is already done. The reason I'm bringing this up is because North Korea has been spear phishing power plants here in general. Now, apparently, North Korea has targeted American power companies for cyber attack, according to a report on Tuesday. Hackers linked Kim Jong-un's regime would target people with spear phishing emails that trick recipients into downloading malware, which is another part of it. Cybersecurity company FireEye said in a report obtained by NBC News, while there is no evidence that the hackers were successful, FireEye says American electric companies could have been targeted because of the increased tensions between U.S. and North Korea. That's very important right there. The company's findings after the NBC report in August that U.S. officials have feared that the isolated nation could launch cyber attacks on America's infrastructure. Now, what's important about that is if you get an email and you work for this power company and you open it up and it looks like it's from your boss or whatever, and it says download the attachment, you trust your boss. So you end up downloading some software and it ends up taking over the system. This can happen to anybody. And that's very common in how some people get their computers taken over and you basically have a zombie PC. And this is a little bit different, but it's along the same lines where they can take over your computer and they can control it to do whatever it is they want. Like, for example, there are hackers out there. They take over multiple computers and they tell them attack site X, Y, or Z because we are ransoming their data to say, hey, you either give us money to unlock your system or we're going to flood your site with data and you won't be able to do anything. That happens a lot, like in Las Vegas, for example. They have a lot of bets on stuff. It's like, well, I know you have an upcoming event. You either pay us or we're going to flood your system because we've got malware on all these other people's computers and they can all attack your computer. And they could do the same thing in this instance to attack these other companies. Or they could just get in there and just monkey around with the stuff right on site. So it's a combination of both. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
Oh, man. It sounds like a plot for a Chuck Norris movie. Yeah, but this is all I can hope is that they didn't get any important information, because that would definitely suck, and that would definitely leave our country, I won't say open to attack, but, you know, if North Korea, who is obviously very poor, can, you know, hack us, I mean, who's to say, you know, some other country won't?
Yeah, North Korea is very poor. The fact is that they have places in the government themselves that hire out for talent, you know, hackers or whatnot. They work directly for the government. The government is actually telling them to do the thing. And the fact is that because the government itself has access to the high-speed data where the people there don't, they don't have access to that kind of data. I mean, it's very difficult for them to get online out there because of the fact is they just don't have a lot of electricity. Like, take for example, if you look at North Korea from outer space at nighttime, it looks like there's like little chains of islands. There's not chains of islands there. Those are just how little there is for electric power in those areas there. So if they don't have power, they don't have access to the internet most likely. So it's more like a government thing at that point.
I do get what you're saying, that it's definitely the government. And that's the point I'm making, that, you know, if the North Korean government, who, you know, at least to me, is very poor, I mean, who's to say, you know, one day a greater country than them won't do it?
Yeah, well, China, for example, they're a greater country than North Korea, and you get attacked all the time. Yeah, yeah, they've got attackers like out there all the time. Matt, your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing, you know, if they're doing that, I mean, it's like this whole thing with the Russia thing, you know, about the president's election.
Yeah.
All these other countries are starting to do things to America. We're screwed.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if they could try to shut us down, you know, our power grids, you know, all our utilities. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you guys remember, it was probably good maybe 6-7 years ago when like half the United States was, the power grid went down. It was a while back.
Are you talking like the great blackout in New York City back in the 1970s?
No. This was recently. This is probably about like maybe within the last 8-9 years.
No,
maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. I can't remember, but it was, you know, within the last 10 years.
I don't remember a major power outage. I mean, there was a major internet outage, but there was.
No, it was a power outage. It was on the East Coast, and it kind of went, I think, to Ohio, maybe. And they don't know how it happened.
Okay. Now that's beginning to sound. Yeah. All right. Now when you said Ohio, now I'm following you. I remember, yeah, there was a number of years ago, but that wasn't because of the power grid being hacked. That was just because there was a series of events where the power just kind of got overloaded from one transfer site to the other, and eventually it knocked out several states at that point.
Okay. But I thought it was a hack or something. But
no, that wasn't a hack. But
even with all the technology that's out now, somebody could do that and knock out the power in, you know, in all the United States.
You know, yeah, our infrastructure is very old. And the biggest problem with, especially with spear phishing attacks, especially with these power plants, is the fact is because they're mostly run by the government, as it were, to a point, or then they're technically involved with the government anyway, they can't update their computers. They are literally banned from doing so, because the fact is that when you introduce new technology to old technology like that, there's all kinds of problems, and they have to figure this stuff out a little at a time. And by the time they figure it out and they've got new computers and updates for that, then by that time, there's more holes in the system again, and they just can't patch them fast enough, because they technically can't, because those patches cause problems.
Right.
But yeah, no, that event that you're talking about there, that wasn't a hacking event. That was just a series of events where a transformer went out, and then another one went out, because there was too much power coming in at one point. So I remember what you're talking about now, but that wasn't a hacking attack.
Well, we just don't want this to happen, though.
Yeah, we definitely don't want this to happen. Definitely don't want this to happen.
What is that, video game?
No, Tony, we're getting hacked.
They get in Abby's computer. The entire NCIS network is next.
I can't stop him. Do something, McGee.
I've never seen code like this.
Speaking of being hacked, a couple months ago, well, earlier this month, maybe, it was Equifax that had gotten hacked. And it's been a big story in the news as of late. But what many people don't know is, along with, you know, your credit card and maybe social security numbers that are stolen, people's driver's licenses were also stolen, nearly 11 million of them. Now, the latest news from the enormous Equifax hack is that the stolen records included 10.9 million driver's licenses from U.S. citizens, according to the Wall Street Journal sources. Now, this isn't much of a surprise given how poorly that all the other information was secured, but it's nice to put a number on not just how many various personal documents Equifax's poor security practices exposed. Now, licenses are, of course, a ubiquitous form of state-issued ID, and as such, being used frequently for certain kinds of verification. No doubt, Equifax requires its users to provide this for particular form of ID to, say, about, nearly 11 million users or 11 million times a day sometimes. Now, while your driver's license isn't exactly personal identification, having that information makes it much easier for someone to impersonate you. For example, if your bank requires you to put in your last four of your social security and your driver's license plus some other meaning, the stuff like your mother's maiden name or whatever, that information could very well be all out there if anybody's looking for it. Or, you know, let's say if somebody were to go to like a gas station, for example, and they said, well, you got to write a check or whatever, and they made up a phony ID based on your ID, for example, there'd be no way for them to know that that wasn't them, because faking an ID would be pretty easy at that point. And then they have the proper data, and that would all check out, and you're screwed then. If website and services that previously used licenses as a way to verify your identity should no longer do so, since million members of them are out there now in the wild. Unfortunately, you can't really make them stop, but you can report if your license has been stolen. Now, for example, another quick example here. If you wanted to change your name on Facebook or whatever, because Facebook a while back started cracking down on people with fake names or anything that looked fake. And they said, if you want to have your name on here, this particular name, you're going to have to prove it with a driver's license. So if I wanted to, I could make one up and it would have all the information on there and it would say whatever I want it to say at that point. So this is really no different. So if using your ID anywhere nowadays, it's almost pointless at this point because of people like this that let the information out like this because of their poor security. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
This is worrisome because if that is the case, if people can make fake IDs better, then, you know, identity theft will go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then not to mention as you point out, the amount of, you know, theft that will go on if, you know, fake IDs are made better. So once again, this is just something to worry about.
Yes, absolutely. Just another thing we have to worry about.
Just something to worry about. Something else is probably going to be on my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, your thoughts?
The driver's license thing. Now, when you go and get your driver's license now, because I had to do it earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
to get mine renewed, they don't give you your driver's license right away.
They don't. They will now mail it to you.
Right. They give you a copy of the driver's license on some paper.
Right.
And then you'll get it then you'll get the actual license within the week.
Yeah.
So that's probably how that happened.
No. With Equifax, sometimes a lot of those pieces of information, like if you have to sign up for a credit anywhere or to hold any kind of information, you have to have your driver's license, your social security number. It's all mixed in there. That's all part of that. That's the reason why they would have that. Like I've got a car loan, for example, and to have that car loan, they have to see my ID, make sure I am who I say I am. That information is there. My social security number is on that, you know, my home address, everything. I mean, almost down to my blood type is on there. So the fact is that this information is out there. I mean, if someone wanted to impersonate you and they'd be able to do it now because making up a phony ID is pretty easy. I mean, each state does their own driver's licenses differently. There is no set way that the entire nation does driver's licenses. If we had one national driver's license, then it might be easier to change it more dramatically to keep ahead of these people. But because there's so many differences and we have so many problems with that, the fact is that someone could target a particular state a little easier, I would think.
Right. But I mean, you know, people are faking everything these days. I remember when the new $20 bills came out, when they redid them. But then the first week that they came out, somebody was already faking them.
Yeah.
I mean, within a week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's people are, you know, there are a lot of smart people out there and there's always somebody out there trying to fake things, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that's not fake these days is orgasms.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, definitely. I was gonna say that. I was thinking about that too. I was like, yeah, even the orgasms are fake nowadays, actually. So
think for yourself, Packard.
I've never had that problem. I'm just saying, I've never had that problem. I'm just saying some people, you know.
Yeah, counterfeiting has gone to a whole new level now.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely has.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662 709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokeSat on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. Or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to check out our secondary show, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. That stuff is just bizarre and full of book poop. And Moses is telling them to eat it. At least that's where we're at the Bible anyway. That's been posted anyway. So if you want to eat some bug poop, or, you know, hear about someone telling his people to eat bug poop, just go and listen to the latest episode of The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. The thing about Christian apologists is they like to try to make up stuff, and a lot of them don't really understand how reality works, because they seem to think that because they believe a certain thing, that makes it a true, and that's just not the truth here, especially when it comes to our Constitution. Rick Wiles apparently has never read the Constitution, not even the first part of it, which is real easy because it's separation of church and state, and it also says that we have a freedom to have a freedom of religion in this country, which is includes also freedom without religion. And if you have freedom of religion, that you are allowed to worship anything you want to. If I want to worship this cup, I certainly can. Not going to, because it's a cup, you know. And there are people out there who believe differently, but Rick Wiles doesn't seem to think that people should be allowed to. Let's take a look at the video. By the way, that is a one white ass suit. I'm just saying.
He does look good, and I'll give him that.
And now we have a society that is not only sterile, it's
apparently he's been putting his phone too close to his nuts because he thinks everybody's sterile now.
Sterilized of God. It's now, Satan is now coming in to fill the vacuum.
Really? Where?
Where? We are still a country that's almost 80% Christian religion. And I think he's meaning in this instance that because we are not 100%, everything else is Satan, you know. For them, it's simple on or off. It's not. They think, in their mind, I think, they think you either believe in God or you believe in the devil.
Yeah, I think he might be referring to, I don't know if you've heard of Lucian Graves, but yeah. He's probably referring to him, which, again, I can't believe I'm saying this for the billionth time. He's a troll. Okay, he's just trolling people like you, Mr. Wiles.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. He is just trolling.
First thing that they had to do was to remove God, sanitize the society, and now they defiled the society. And now it's literally becoming a satanic society.
Sounds awesome.
What did I say? What did I say? That's exactly what I was just saying. That he thinks that because we don't believe in God, then anything that's not God is automatically satanic.
Satanic society. That sounds like a good name for a rock band.
It does.
This guy's nuts.
Yeah, that goes without saying. But I mean, can you be more specific?
Well, he's talking about on how God has been removed from society. You know, how's that possible?
Yeah, I'd like to know that myself. I mean, I think when he says it's removed from society, I think he means, again, he thinks that this country, because it's not 100% Christian, that they understand that their Christian religion is dying. It is dying on the vine because of their inability to grow. So they think that, well, obviously what's filling it in is Satan, obviously. I know it's incredible. God. I know it's incredibly stupid.
I mean, and he says that Satan is now coming in to fill the vacuum. No.
Yeah. No.
We have people who openly confess their love and their allegiance to Satan, and it's becoming normal. Right here in Florida, I'm in Vero Beach, and south of us, down in Boca Raton, south of West Palm Beach, there's a pastor who's, you know, outraged by what's happening. The city council is going to approve a permit for a satanic display to be put up in the city square at Christmas time that says One Nation Under Antichrist.
First of all, the point here is, Rick, if you get to have a display in a public place, they get the chance to put something up too. You don't get to say it's only just for this. And if they want to put up something that says Antichrist, that's fine. If they want to say put up a spaghetti monster, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's a public space. You don't get to have full dominance in a public space. What is it with this ass monkey that thinks that only his religion is the only thing that's allowed out there?
What are you talking about, Packer? This is a Christian nation, remember? But getting to my serious point, he acts like the Supreme Court hasn't made this clear to idiots like him, okay? The Supreme Court has made it clear. In the public square, either all religions get represented or none of them do. And just because you have this delusion that this country was founded by your religion, it wasn't. Most of the founding fathers were deists. Most of the founding fathers not only disagreed with Christianity, they didn't even like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Benjamin Franklin, who to this day is still famous for saying, lighthouses serve more use than churches, which I find very true.
He does bring that up. He does bring that up in the video here.
What is happening to this country? We've lost our mind, Greg. We've lost our mind.
Just you, Rick. Just you. And the people who are religious, you've lost your minds. If you think that you can tell other people what to do because you believe something.
And the city council and the mayor say, well, these Satanists have their rights too. No, they don't. They don't have any rights.
Since when?
Thank you.
Since when? Since when did the Constitution say freedom of religion except for Satanists? It doesn't. It doesn't say that. It says freedom of religion. That brings up what I said right at the top of this, is that if you believe a thing, you have every right to believe that thing. And there are Christians out there that will say, well, freedom of religion doesn't mean that you get to be an atheist. Yes, it does. Freedom of religion includes freedom from religion. If you think that freedom from religion doesn't include freedom of religion, then you don't understand what the word freedom means.
You can't have freedom of without freedom from. Yeah, there's. You can apply that to all the rights in the Constitution. You have freedom of the press, and guess what? You have the right to have freedom from the press. You have the right to what? To not watch any news if you so choose to.
Right. This isn't like North Korea where you have to say, okay, the North Korea's president's going to be on and you have to watch it. You know, everybody has to watch it. Like the presidential debates. You don't have to watch that. You can. You don't have to. You can go to bed or you can go to a soccer game or whatever. You don't have to. You're not going to get shot if you don't.
Yeah, that's all those things are better substitutes than a presidential debate.
Yeah.
Don't have the right to worship Lucifer. I'm sorry, but this country was founded by Christians. You don't have the right to worship Lucifer.
Actually, again, you're wrong. I can't believe I have to keep repeating this to this idiot. Everybody has a right to worship whatever they want. If someone wants to worship Lucifer, they can. The fact is, those Satanists, they don't worship Lucifer. They are trolls. They're showing you the hypocrisy of your actions. And Ranger, you said it earlier that this is not a Christian nation. We are not founded just by Christians.
Well, yeah, this was not founded on the Christian religion. There's the Treaty of Tripoli. There's the historical fact that most of the founding fathers were deists. They weren't Christians. And even the founding fathers that were Christians believed in the establishment clause, which was set up by Thomas Jefferson.
All right. As a matter of fact, I have a page up here that tells exactly what their religions were. Now, this is from the Faiths of the Founding Fathers, a book of American history from David L. Holmes of the College of William and Mary. Holmes approached the topic of religion founders of the United States by analyzing their public statements and correspondence. The comments left by the contemporaries and the views were available of clergy who knew them. Now, first of all, the smallest group of founders who had their Judeo-Christian heritages were advocates of the enlightened religion of nature called deism. They were most of them were pretty much deists. These figures included Thomas Paine and Ethan Allen. The founders who remained practicing Christians, they retained supernaturalist worldviews. They believed in the divinity of Christ and the adherence to the teachings of their denomination. These founders included Patrick Henry, John Jay, and Samuel Adams. Now, Holmes also finds that most of the wives of the daughters of the founders fell into this category as well. Now, the largest group consisted of founders who retained Christian loyalties and practices, but were influenced by deism. They believed that little or none of the miracles of supernaturalism inherent in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Holmes finds spectrum of such deist Christians among the founders ranging from John Adams and George Washington on the conservative right to Ben Franklin and James Moore on the skeptical left. So most of these people were deists or they leaned deist. They weren't all Christian, quote unquote. Now, I want to go back to the freedom of religion now, because again, Rick Wiles thinks that people don't have a right, in his mind, for reasons that people can't worship Satan if they want to. Now, let me just go back over the First Amendment here really quick here. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion. Doesn't say everything, but okay, nowhere in that First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, the one that's in your head, Rick Wiles, if that one says, oh, Satanists can't have rights, then the one in your head is wrong. If I had the money, I would take a copy of the Constitution and I would nail it to your door and I would plaster it, that particular reference, all over every window that you had so you could read it every time you woke up. Nowhere does it say that Satanists don't have a right to worship what they want to worship. But he has an explanation as why he thinks that they shouldn't be able to do it.
In this country, you're going to bring damnation and judgment on the nation.
Okay, and there it is. There it is. If you do a thing, then God will get mad. So don't do that thing. It's an argument from emotion and an appeal to consequences.
They've been saying this for decades. They said this when abortion was legal. They said this when freaking gay marriage was legalized. Oh, you're bringing damnation. It hasn't happened yet, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's appeal to consequences. Like when we had the hurricanes, it's like the reason we had hurricanes is because gay people, because abortion, because Muslims, because
NFL players.
Because some Christian used the left-handed trimmer on their right toe, and that pissed off God somehow.
Yeah, it's almost as if natural disasters happen.
Imagine that. If their God was real and they thought that, you know, there was a real punishment, why doesn't a hurricane ever show up, I don't know, say, Alaska or California? It's only in places where natural disasters like that happen. That's why we don't get earthquakes in Florida, okay? If we had an earthquake in Florida and a hurricane in California at the same time, I'm not even going to say we'd even have anything then, because there would probably be a good reason for it. But I mean, the nonsense that they glom onto, the natural events, they go, oh, that's God. No, that's just natural offense. These people are just insane. Anyone have any last thoughts on Rick Wiles before we move on?
Sounds like he's a nut job.
Yeah, he is a nut job. He is a major nut job.
I recognize him because he hangs out with Jim Baker.
Yeah, he does hang out with Jim Baker quite a bit. So,
oh boy, that explains everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in one of our clips. You know, he was the one that talks about the Pokemon creatures, you know, he's from that clip.
Okay.
Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky.
In Wisconsin, the judges out here, they did something smart. For a change, a federal judge struck down tax-free housing for the clergy. So that's going to start saving us some money, because if you go to these big areas or any place that has a mega church or whatever, these pastors, they have these huge houses. The tax-free status for the houses originally was supposed to be for like a little building that the priest could live in, you know, and because at the time the priest didn't have that much, because their only job was just talk to the local people. But now these mega churches have grown and they bring in billions of dollars, and the pastors, they don't have to pay taxes on anything. So that's been struck down. Now, the federal judge struck down the unconstitutional law that gives clergy tax-free housing allowances in a ruling that could have far-reaching ramifications for religious leaders who have fought for years to keep the substantial financial benefit. Under the federal law passed in 1954, a minister of the gospel, quote-unquote, doesn't pay income taxes on compensation that is designed part of a housing allowance. The Freedom for Religion Foundation, based in Madison, argued that the law discriminates against secular employees. The benefit saves clergy, including non-Christian religion leaders, over $800 million a year in taxes. That's a lot of money that could be going to taxes. According to latest assessment from the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation, under the law, housing allowances paid for clergy salary can be subtracted from their taxable income. The Freedom for Religion Foundation argued that the clergy member can use untaxed income to purchase a home and then, in a practice known as double dipping, deduct interest paid on the mortgage and property taxes. U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb ruled on Friday, October 6, 2017, that the exemption provides unconstitutional benefit to religious persons and no one else, violating the Establishment Clause of the United States Constitution. In reaching this conclusion, I do not mean to imply that any particular minister is undeserving of the exemption or does not have a financial need for one, Crabb wrote. The important point is that many equally deserved secular employees, as well as other kinds of religious employees, could benefit from the exemption as well, but they must satisfy much more demanding requirements despite the lack of justification, the difference in treatment, and they didn't. So Crabb also struck down the law in 2013, but the 7th U.S. District Court of Appeals reversed the ruling, saying the co-presidents of the anti-religion group had challenged it, didn't have a standing to bring the lawsuit because they had never been denied parsonage exemption. What nonsense. So in 2015, the Freedom for Religion's co-president requested a tax benefit and were rejected by the IRS, leading them to file a new lawsuit last year. So you don't have a leg to stand on. You've never applied for it. So you don't get to say that no one else could get it. Well, they tried. They didn't get it. So obviously, they're not allowed to get it. So you just blew your whole case out of the water by saying that. Ranger, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, let me say I love George Carlin. So thank you for playing that clip.
You're welcome.
Huge fan. But more to the point, this is something I've been saying for years, that that churches should be taxed, especially if they, in case you haven't noticed, they're so adamant on commenting on our politics. If you have something to say about our politics, you should be paying taxes like every other person in this country. Not to mention the fact that they should be taxed anyway, because that $80 million could be going to, our infrastructure, which gets a D+.
Yeah. Well, that's actually $800 million. And this is just the tax benefit for them for the housing allowance. That's not even the taxation on the churches, because the churches are still not able to be taxed yet. I mean, and eventually, I think at some point, the churches might get taxed. I'm hoping at some point that they do.
Oh, so do I.
Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. With these churches that are making money since they're not getting taxed, mm-hmm. pastors of these, mega churches or whatever you want to call them, they shouldn't be exempt.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, they should just do like everybody else does.
Yeah. Well, they should definitely be taxed when they're on their houses, at least.
Yeah. And on a personal note, I think they want to keep this money so they can keep shuffling pedophile priests. But that's just my opinion.
Now that's possible. I think a lot of them, they buy these luxury homes. In some cases, what they do is, like, for example, the United Methodist Church provided a house that was valued at $327,000 for Bishop John Hopkins. Hopkins said the home near Canton, Ohio, allows him to host visiting guests of the conference, and they use it for RNS clergy housing. And I'm willing to bet you the clergy housing that they set up there, I bet you that it's like, if you're going to be here, you have to pay X, Y, or Z to the house, so.
Yeah, so they're making double money on it.
Yeah, or triple money at that point.
Yeah.
They're already double dipping against the government, and then they're probably adding, fees from these people that come in there. It's like, for whatever religious fees. So, they're making money hand over fist.
Well, I have a cousin who's a Catholic priest, and he lives in a rectory.
I was going to make a joke there.
Anyway, this is where all the priests live.
Yeah, I almost thought you were going to say rectum. I was going to just say
rectum. But he also has a house, but, you know, he's got to pay for that house himself. That's his place.
Mm.
But, you know, and they don't make very much money. They're only paid on a monthly basis. So I'm sure their money's a little tight. But these other churches like this, you know, United Methodist Church, I mean, if you look at the picture of this house, I mean, this thing's pretty huge.
Yes.
You know, nice place, but it's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, they got the money to, you know, fork over to have a place like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. On the front of this house, there's like a little sign. I've seen these signs before. They're for security companies.
Mm-hmm.
Since this house, it shows that this house was provided by the United Methodist Church. If they have to have a security system, I guess they don't really trust their God to protect their religious icon or their religious, you know, worship area or anything like that. It's not that I say worship everybody, but I mean, they don't expect their God to keep that house safe, I guess. Otherwise, they wouldn't put locks in the doors, or they wouldn't put security systems in.
Right.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
This is a great time of the year, and I love October because you get so much great stuff. You can go out and buy pumpkin pie, finally. Again, well, you can probably buy it any time of year, but October's kind of known for that, as, along with Thanksgiving, which is in November, of course. But, I mean, you can get that. And the other part of October is Halloween, which is awesome because you get to, you know, go out and buy a costume and look goofy or scary or whatever. And what's really cool about Halloween also is that there are stores that just specialize in costumes. And I've gone to these stores and I've tried on the hats or the masks or whatever and taken pictures of myself looking goofy and whatnot. And there is something that you can get during this time of the year, and which is not just candy after you've bought your costume and everything and gone out or gone to a party and get liquored up. You can also get a very unexpected visitor. Head lice. Yeah, you didn't see that one coming, did you? Because people don't take care of themselves sometimes, and they go out to those places that have Halloween costumes and whatnot, and they try on this stuff, and they may have it, and then you come along, you don't have it, but you're like, oh, hey, that looks like a cool mask, and you put on the hat or whatever, and next thing you know, you've got lice. Tony, your thoughts?
Oh, man, I hated lice when I was a kid, man. Oh, man, I think when I get head lice, my mother's spent, I think, 2 hours getting it all out of my head. And, oh, man, those things are a pain. They hurt when they bite. And unfortunately, I don't know if they're considered insects or not, but those are the kind of bugs that they spread very fast if you're not careful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there is some methods you can do if you buy a Halloween costume. Unless you're one of those people who like go out to the store and buy something at the very last minute. And I would strongly recommend not doing that. But don't try on a mask in a store without wearing a bathing cap over your hair. Wear something over your hair, at least. Or when you buy a costume, put the costume in a tightly sealed bag for at least 48 hours before wearing it to kill off any lice that may be on it. So I don't know. Their life cycle is pretty quick, I guess. Now throw dryer-friendly costumes in the dryer for at least 45 minutes before wearing them. So if you do have to get a costume late, put it in the dryer for almost an hour and just, you know, just tumble dry it, and the heat will kill anything that might be on there. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, this whole head lice thing, I mean, it can spread really quickly. I remember I had lice when I was a kid, and I think our whole class had it. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it was. And this is going back years and years ago. But, you know, now I guess you just got to do whatever they say you got to do with this.
Yeah.
Another thing you got to watch out for, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely something you should definitely, you know, look into taking care of. You know, my kids, there was an outbreak of lice in one of the schools when my kids were growing up too, and they had to be treated for that too. So then you can't just treat them. You have to treat yourself as well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have to check out bedding and everything like that. And it's a big pain in the butt is what it is.
Well, it's like, you know, if you have a pet and they have fleas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, if your pet's been on your bed or on the couches, I mean, you got to like do everything under the sun to get rid of the fleas.
Yeah, it's a big business. It's a very big business.
Yeah.
And the kits that you get that get rid of lice,
mm-hmm.
those things are not cheap. Those things are like between, I don't know, between $20 and $30 a box. And they only serve like one or two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's that special comb that they... You know, you got to use.
Yeah.
This may be somewhat a little bit unrelated, but when I was working, when I was back in Delaware working maintenance in the hotel, whenever we had a room that was positive for bed bugs, which, yes, they are real. We would have to shut that room down, you know, strip all the bedding off and just fumigate the whole room.
Yeah. Those things are nasty too. I mean, getting those kind of insects, because they live off of us. They're just nasty. They are just nasty stuff. I'm gonna eat them all up just as soon as they turn blue. Cause I got Pac-Man fever. It's driving me crazy. Now, what does Pac-Man have to do with this next story? Except for Pac-Man, and if you play Pac-Man, it eats everything. You know, it's in front of it. Or at least tries to anyway. And the same thing kind of happened here with some bears that broke into a Colorado restaurant out in Denver. Several bears. They were apparently caught on surveillance footage early Sunday morning from the Ursuline family. Unlike Goldilocks, they were perfectly content eating the food that wasn't just right. The mother bear and her two cubs made a meal of cold pizza dough, salami, rifling through a trash can, and a prep table to find all the food that was there. At Antonio's Real New York Pizza shared a video on Facebook, and the bears gained entrance to the kitchen by ripping through the drive-thru window out of the wall. Yeah, you have to be pretty determined to dig out a hole right through the wall. Now, according to the restaurant, they ate more than 40 pounds of dough and caused about $1,000 in damage. So the restaurant owners and Antonio De Sosa asked that the bears be treated with mercy if they're ever caught. Raythish Ranger, your thoughts?
You know, everyone told me I was crazy, but I knew Yogi Bear existed. I wonder if they found Boo Boo yet.
Yeah, I think Boo Boo was with them, you know, so.
Oh, awesome. But, I just wish I was honestly there, because I would have got that whole thing on video.
There is a video there and the link there too.
Oh, cool. I'm gonna have to watch that later, because that, oh man, that sounds so funny.
Yeah. So, watch them rifle through everything looking for food. I mean, it's funny and scary at the same time, because we are encroaching on their territories. So they're everywhere. I mean, I haven't seen a bear in the wild yet. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that I work with and I have worked with over the years, and especially their driving places, and they see bears everywhere. I'm like, I've never seen one. I drive all over. I've never seen one in the wild.
I actually have. I saw a black bear this summer.
Oh, see? Everybody else gets to see them out in the wild. I mean, I have to go to the zoo and look at them.
Yeah, but I find this a little weird, because I didn't know bears liked pizza dough.
They will eat anything. They're like land sharks. They will just eat anything that's in front of them almost.
Every time I think of a bear, I keep thinking, like, you know, them just standing in a stream waiting for salmon to come up.
Yeah, no, they eat more than that. They will eat almost anything. There's this video, they put food inside a van and they let a bear loose intentionally. They had it cordoned off so the bear couldn't get away, but they wanted to see what would happen if a bear wanted to get the food locked up in your car. That bear ripped out the windows, ripped off the door to get at the food inside your car. So if there is food inside of a vehicle and there's a bear there and you're not around, or even if you are, or if you're in the car for some reason, the bear is going to get in one way or the other. If you can't drive away, that bear is getting in that car. There's just nothing that's going to stop that thing.
Yeah.
Matt, your thoughts?
Did you ever see the movie The Great Outdoors?
Yes, I have seen that movie.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Ah.
Yeah, that would be pretty scary, walking in and seeing three bears basically eating all your profit.
Yeah. Well, in this instance, it was probably late at night. So. Yeah,
but I mean, could you imagine, you know, coming in the next morning and, you know, okay, what happened here? And then going to your surveillance video and seeing it was bears.
Yeah, that would be like, okay, how did they get in? Oh, they came in through the window.
We should probably get that locked.
Yeah, well, they tore it right out of the wall. I mean, like I said, if they can break in through a car, a little window like that, that's not going to stop them.
No. Yeah, I remember my dad telling me a story when they went camping out west. I think it was in California somewhere. And my dad woke up in the middle of the night and he heard this rustling and couldn't figure out what it was. And he saw this big shadow. It was a bear outside their tent. Mm-hmm. They left the coolers outside and the bears ended up eating everything out of the cooler.
Oops.
My dad just stayed right in the tent. He didn't move or nothing.
He could have been the next meal otherwise.
Yeah.
That's why they say when you're out camping or whatever, you're supposed to, and you know that there might be bears in the area, you're supposed to take the food and you're supposed to get it to hang it from a tree limb or something if possible.
Yeah, if possible. Yeah,
personally, I would probably be heavy to carry, but I bring like a giant lockbox made of, you know, metal. although they probably get in there anyway. So
probably, yeah. They're a strong animal.
Yes, they are. They're very strong. They're very strong. As a matter of fact, several weeks ago, my daughter and I went to the Madison Zoo, and I got to see something I never thought I got to see. We got to see a bear poop. So yeah. So if a bear poops in the woods,
I was just about to ask you that. Did he poop in the woods?
It was an enclosure, but the funny thing was, you know how humans, when we relieve ourselves, we kind of relieve both ends, you know, the front and the back, as it were. Bears don't do that. They relieve one and then they just walk away and start letting go the rest, which I thought was interesting. It was really interesting. Can't believe it. Don't believe it. This is the time of year again where we have, you know, Halloween and things like that, and demons and monsters and people dress up like all kinds of things. And one of the creatures we're going to talk about is Samhain. Now, Samhain, I don't have a picture because I couldn't find one, a good representation, unless I want to put up a picture from the representation they made for a cartoon called Ghostbusters a number of years ago. Samhain was known in Ireland as the Lord of Darkness. Now, the Druid religion was practiced by ancient Celtic tribes that populated Ireland and parts of Europe. This religion worships Samhain, the Lord of Darkness. Some writings also speak of Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, but today's scholars suggest that's incorrect. The Druid New Year begins on November 1st. It's also known as the Feast of Samhain. The Celts only recognize summer and winter seasons. Literally translated, Samhain means summer's end. And now at this time, the hours of nighttime were growing significantly over the hours of sunlight. Hence, Lord Samhain reigned over the long winter months as the influence of the sun god and the summer seasons, Beltane or Beltane, or it's two different spellings for Beltane, proceeded. Samhain's influence grows with the increase of the hours of darkness. He can only roam the earth during hours of darkness. The Druids' New Year's Eve was Hallow-Eden, also known as Hallowmass. The Druids believed that, or on that night, that all the people who died in the past year would rise up and search for the passageway to the netherworld. On this particular night, the passage, or the veil, you've ever heard that saying, the veil between darkness and light is at its thinnest? That's where that comes from.
Huh.
Now, the veil is both between both worlds was at its thinnest, which I just read, which I just said. Lord Samhain would roam the earth in search of these souls to capture them and to take them into his world of darkness. To this day, some people put lights in their windows to help the dead find their way and to keep Lord Samhain from taking them. So that kind of mixes it with the jack-o'-lantern, putting the light in the jack-o'-lantern. So they, if they couldn't put it in the window, they could at least put it in the jack-o'-lantern. And then, you know, the souls could find their way. Now, the Druid religion dates back to 200 BC, had priests and priestesses. Now, these magicians, quote unquote, soothsayers or wizards, filled most of the important roles in Celtic culture. At the time of the Celtic tribes were close to nature. As a result, they worshiped many things in nature as their gods. No Druid god was more powerful or more feared than Lord Samhain. Now, the roots of Halloween are traced back to the Druid religion and Lord Samhain. Certainly, Halloween took aspects of darkness, black color, evil spirits, you know, all that happy horse nonsense, and people rising from the dead and roaming on the earth at night. These themes of Halloween are common with this religion. Now, Pope Gregory II moved the Christian holiday of All Hallows Eve from May 13th to November 1st. There's this meme that runs around. It's all these things that say these are your Christian religions, and it says it includes Halloween on that. That's because of Pope Gregory moving All Hallows Eve to November 1st. So that would be near Halloween. He moved it to coincide with the Feast of Samhain. All Hallows Eve honored the saints of the church. Moving the date from All Hallows Eve was an attempt by the Roman Catholic Church to downplay the pagan festival. Hopefully, they reasoned it, it would replace Samhain and the pagan celebration would fade away. They hoped. Didn't happen, obviously. The pagan festival continues to be celebrated and Halloween evolved largely from it. Today, the Catholic Church tolerates Halloween. Oh, how merciful you are. Recognizing that it's a fun holiday and not intended to hold religious or other supernatural beliefs or religion. Atheist Ranger, your thoughts?
Well, as far as the history is concerned, I mean, not going to lie, it does sound like a good Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that Halloween came from the Druids. I'm going to have to, you know, write that down and use it in future conversations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sounds like my kind of God as well.
How many gods are you up to worshiping now?
I think two.
Yeah. Matt, your thoughts?
Sounds pretty cool.
It does. According to what I understand, now my memory's a little sparse on this, but they would have like long days feasts. Halloween just wasn't confined to just one day. This was like several days of feasts and things like that. So it was pretty popular back then. I mean, in that time period anyway.
Well, they probably didn't have candy back then, so.
Well, not like, you know, modern candy like we have today. No, obviously not.
Yeah, I'm sure they had their own version of desserts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably. Yeah, easily.
And like now right. Your kid gets all wigged up on all the sugar from the candy now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And usually it's the parents that end up getting all wigged up by the sugar because, you know, take the kids out and then they're like, oh, well, we got to test these. We got to make sure they're okay. Do I get it back then? No, because I'm going to be eating it. All right, well, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody that came to the show. If you'd like to make a direct donation, go to paypal.me/PackardPokesAt. You can make a donation as little as a dollar or more if you want to, and I would greatly appreciate it. It helps keep the lights on around here and keeps me living indoors if at all possible. And if you would like to make a donation per episode, go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt. You can make a dollar donation per episode for the show. And I'm putting this out there that if you want to make a donation for $20 per episode after a month, after the money's gone through, if you write to me and say, hey, I want you to say something at the beginning of the show, I will read that on the air. So, and it doesn't matter what it is, but if you make a donation of $20 per episode, I will read something for you on the air. So right at the top of the show too. So anyway, we'll see you next week on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time. That's just look for Chicago. You'll find it. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.